We're going to talk about the New King James Bible today, and there's really two different thoughts here. The New King James translator said of their work that it benefits readers of all textual persuasions. We talked about that last week. Compare that to what the King James translator said of their work. They said it's a manifest falling away from faith and a fault of presumption to reject any of those things which were written. And we're going to see today that many of the things in the New King James Bible have been changed, that the changes have been made and they affect serious doctrines affecting the Word of God itself. An interesting fact that I read this week as I was studying for this lesson to finish it up was the New King James is one of those Bible translations where actually a Bible publisher put together the translating committee to make this Bible. The publisher themselves, Thomas Nelson, is the one that wanted to actually make this Bible. They chose the people and they put this Bible together through this committee, and they have five other Bible translations that are out there as well, the Revised Standard Version and the American Standard Version as well. So an interesting fact that a Bible publisher would want to put together this Bible. It's an interesting thing to talk about, the things that are new. New is not inherently bad. We could talk about many things in the Bible that are new, the New Covenant, the New Testament itself, the new life that we have in Christ, certainly are positive things, and even non-spiritual things, a new job, a new home, a new car, a new baby, as some might have around here today, certainly positive things. But you know, new can also be very negative and very bad as well. We read in the scriptures about the new cart that they were going to use to transport the covenant, and we know how that turned out. You think of the new sword. You remember one of the sons of the giant was going to slay David, King David, with a new sword. And the sword often pictures the Word of God in the Bible, so isn't that an interesting thought in itself, a new sword to slay David? The Israelites went after strange and new gods, but we also obviously been talking about the new Bible versions themselves. Today, specifically, we're going to talk about the New King James Bible, but a couple others I would give you a word of warning about. Anybody heard of the Scofield Reference Bible? Many of you. Did you know that there is a new Scofield Reference Bible out there today? And the notes that are in that Bible are not the notes that Scofield put in there himself. They're notes that other people have put in there that make changes to his Bible that was originally put together. We talked about the Geneva Bible that was put together back in the reign of Bloody Mary when we talked about history. Did you know that there's a new Geneva Bible out there? And what do? They went through and made changes in it. So new, quite often, is bad because it's making changes to what was originally intended to be said. And that's exactly the case we're going to see today with the New King James Bible. Somebody asked me this week, Joanne, I think it was you, what is the worst Bible out there? And you know, I really didn't even have to think about answering the question because I already knew what I would say. I did not say the NIV with all the changes that are there. I didn't say the Catholic Bible, and I did not even say the Jehovah Witness Bible. I said the New King James Bible. And the reason that I said the New King James Bible is because the closer you can get to the truth and still be error, the more dangerous you become. It's that easy, natural first step to come off the King James Bible to go to the New King James Bible. That's what happened in my own personal life. Just to give you a word of testimony, one of our Sunday school teachers at a church I used to attend would only teach out of the New King James. And it was so difficult to follow along, I got a copy of the New King James Bible before I knew any of this stuff. What happened? 2 weeks later, I got some cassettes in the mail about church history that I'd ordered, and they included some free cassettes on Bible version issues. God was certainly telling me, don't do it. And it opened my eyes to this whole thing, and I've been studying this subject on and off ever since. Well, today we're going to look at some of the problems with the New King James. We're going to briefly talk about those translator notes that we went over last week, just in the context of today only talking about the New King James. We're going to talk about the footnotes themselves, a few examples of some of the archaic words that are supposedly corrected in the New King James. We're going to spend the bulk of our time talking about some of the many textual changes that are in the New King James Bible. Many people do not realize the New King James Bible makes many of the same changes in the text that the other modern Bibles makes as well. And we're going to close out with the problem above the New King James name itself. Number two in your outline, we're just going to go over these briefly just to refresh what we talked about last week, the summary of the New King James itself. The New King James translators claim that this is the fifth revision in a line of revisions that have already occurred with the 1611 King James Bible. They're taking those updates. Remember, we talked about how the English language had changed and they had been updating the English language. They're counting those as revisions and claiming that they're simply the fifth in that series of revisions that have been made. They also state that new translation was included where it was necessary for a more precise rendering. What they're saying by that is the fact that the King James Bible was not translated accurately enough in the first place, that there were problems with it that they needed to fix. Number three, the fact that it comes from a different Hebrew text. We talked a little bit about the Septuagint, the Latin Vulgate, the Dead Sea Scrolls, but the Hebrew text itself was also different from what was used for the King James Bible translators. I have it there in your notes, a little more detail, some of the study I did this week on this. When we talked about the King James Bible, the Old Testament text, the Rabbinic Bible, the 15th century, another name that you want to be familiar with there is the Benchayan or Bloomberg text. It's simply synonymous to be the same things, but those are names you're going to want to know if you ever get into discussing this subject. But beyond that, what I found in studying this is that that Stuttgart version of the Old Testament text was actually also approved by the Vatican and printed jointly between the Vatican and the Protestant Bible societies. So we have the Catholics working together with the Protestant Bible Society to work, publish, and put out this text that is used in the modern Bibles. We've seen it over and again last week, how that they were all using this version, the abbreviation BHS there. And what does the BHS state about itself? That it's a welcome sign of the times that it was published jointly in 1971 by the Wurttemberg Bible Society Stuttgart, which is in Germany, and the Pontifical Bible Institute of Rome. So literally, this text that's being used for all these Old Testaments, the Hebrew text itself, is also partly endorsed, partly printed, published by Rome itself. I wanted to verify that a little bit more myself before I would bring that to you today. I also found this at a site called CatholicResources.org. These are the resources that Catholicism lists for its priests to use for their studies. I'm not sure how deep they go, but for the priests themselves. And look at these examples. Number one on the list, the BHS, the Septuagint, United Bible Society, and the Nestle-Allen Greek. The same text we found last week was in all these new modern Bible translations, and is also in the New King James Bible itself. So certainly worth mentioning. Number four, we talked about last week that there was only that 15% difference, supposedly, between all different Greek manuscripts that are out there. And 15% is huge. We've been looking over the past 6 or 7 weeks at all the changes in the different Bibles. And would you not agree that 15% could be huge? The changes that we've seen over the past several weeks are just huge. And remember, Jesus himself said, we need every word. We don't just need what's left over or what's not been changed in the end. We need every word. Number five, the fact that the majority text was used to correct the Textus Receptus. If you recall, the Textus Receptus was the Greek text of the King James Bible itself, and the New King James Bible translators say that the majority text is used to correct it, because obviously it was deficient in some way. Finally, number seven, and I think this was one of the most telling statements last week, they say the real purpose for having all those footnotes is to benefit readers of all textual persuasions. In other words, it's a Bible for everyone. It'll fit everybody's needs. Just come and buy it, is what they're really saying. There's almost 800 sets of those footnotes in there, and that's what we're actually going to talk just a little bit more about here, section number two, the footnotes. Here's that paragraph that I just said. The majority text is similar to the Textus Receptus, but it corrects those readings, which have little or no support in the Greek manuscripts. And remember, these aren't my words. These are what the translators said about their own work. Very significant. Also, we see here that by giving a clearly defined set of variants, the New King James Version benefits readers of all textual persuasions. They're trying to make the Bible to suit everybody. If you want to use the Greek text redefined down to the bottom from these other textual sources to correct the King James Bible, that's why it's there. It is not given to be a help for difficult words or things you don't understand or difficult passages. It is truly given for the purpose of correcting what they consider to be weak or errors in the King James Bible text itself. It's so easy to read those footnotes and go, oh, that must be there for a help. No, according to their own words, the majority text corrects the King James Bible. They also talked about paragraph 32. When we find those footnotes in the text, it's because they say there is significant variations that have occurred. In other words, it's there because the difference between the texts was so severe, they wanted to make sure you knew the other side of the issue, the other side of the coin for that topic. And then these are the notes themselves defining what the NU text is, the majority text, those are in your outlines. their own words telling you that this is an Alexandrian or Egyptian type text. All right, nobody looking at their outline right now. Everybody looking up, everybody's face up, because I don't want anybody to cheat. Pastor, you watch them. They cheat, you throw them out, Pastor. We're going to talk about those old, archaic, and difficult words. And we could have talked about this subject for 20 or 30 minutes today just on the New King James. I've got an 8-page list at home of all these changes in the NIV. So many of these changes are in the modern Bibles where they say, remember, they use the guise that we just wanted to update the archaic language. That is always just an excuse. I have not seen one Bible yet where all they did was go through and try to take maybe some of the older words that we don't use today and just update them. What you always find is that that's the excuse behind wanting to make the changes. But let's just look at a couple of the changes here today and see how well we do. Just a quick sample. Isaiah 28:1 says, "The verdant valleys to those who are overcome with wine." That's out of the New King James. Does anybody know what the word verdant means? Raise your hand if you do. Thought maybe somebody might get some of these. They're not common words. They're not. But yet, they criticize the King James Bible for being archaic, using words we don't know, we don't understand. What does the King James Bible say? It says, "The fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine." Simply talking about the fact that they were fruitful. Okay, if you look up the word verdant, it means green. Literally, that's what it means. So like a green valley you might picture in your mind. Certainly a word we don't use today. But instead of taking a word we might understand, they took it out and used a word we would never understand. Let's look at the second example. Isaiah 2:16, "Upon the ships of Tarshish and upon all the beautiful sloops." Anybody know what a sloop is? It's not on Willy Wonka. It's really not. Those were Oompa Loompas. These are sloops. Let's look and see. King James Bible. "And upon all the ships of Tarshish and upon all the pleasant pictures." Now, which of those do you understand better? Sloops or pictures? And actually, if you look up sloop, it's a single-mast ship. So, completely different altogether. Next example, this will be our last one. Lamentations 5:3. "We have become orphans and waifs. Our mothers are like widows." Anybody know what a waif is? You guys are getting none of these. I thought somebody would get at least one of them. Go ahead. Yeah. You're real close. Fatherless is what the King James would actually say. See, somebody got one of them. Aren't you glad we've got such modern, updated English in the New King James Bible? We could have spent 20, 30 minutes looking at these examples. I got an 8-page list at home on the NIV. It is not done for the purpose of updating the English. It really is not. Now we're going to move into what is the bulk of our subject this morning. We're going to talk about the changes in the text themselves, and a lot of people don't realize that there are changes. I would like to add to that last point, though, just the fact that, you know, a lot of times people will come to you and say, "I don't really understand the King James Bible." Well, there's really only two good explanations as to why. Number one, are you really a Christian? Because we need the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the Bible. And he said he would do that, but you got to be a Christian, first of all. You take a lost person, give them a King James Bible, they're going to be lost. They're going to be really lost after they get done reading it, because so much of it's not going to make any sense to them. Remember the Ethiopian, he said, "I need someone to help me to understand." That's what that's all about. The second one is, how much are you reading your Bible? You ask the person that says they cannot understand the King James Bible, how many verses are you reading a day? Almost always the answer is none, or rarely at best. If you read the King James Bible, it will begin to make more and more sense to you. If you never read it, it will never make more sense to you. It's just a matter of being in the Word of God. It really is. All right, before we actually jump into our subject, I want to ask you a question. And I'm going to ask you the same question at the end of the subject. So kind of bear it in mind as we go through these different examples of changes in the text. Here's the question. If the New King James only used the traditional text, the Textus Receptus, of the King James Bible, like they said they did, okay, their own words, why does it contain many of the same changes that the modern Bibles have? I'm talking the same verses. I'm talking the same part of the verse, like maybe the ending. I'm talking the same words that the modern Bibles have are in the New King James Bible in place of what the King James Bible said. So if they truly did what they said, then why do those changes exist? Now I want you to think about that as we go through these different examples today. We're going to go through these quickly. I've got like 26 there. I'm going to try and keep my comments down just so we can get started normal time today for regular service and just try to buzz through these. I want you to see just a portion. This is that small sample. This does not represent all the changes that are there. We could have spent over an hour on this today and not got all of them. So let's just get started with that right now. Number one, it says in Genesis 2:18, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. What does the New King James Bible say? It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And pastor's been doing this home improvement series. We know that as men and women, we are equal in God's sight. But we certainly have a different role to play. And I tell you that because certainly there are groups that have agendas that want these type of changes in the Bible, making the woman comparable to man in a certain way because of a certain agenda that's out there. And I'm sure that's the reason that this change got put into this Bible. And as you see, I have no other versions listed there with it because I couldn't find this change in any other Bibles, only in the New King James Bible. For most of these, we're going to have four comparisons. We're going to have the King James, the New King James, the NIV, and the New World Translation. A few times we'll vary from that, but to the most part, that's what we're going to have. Number two, Genesis 22:8. It says, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. What is that verse talking about? Simply the fact that God was going to be that lamb. Read it the way that it's written there and understand every word is important. God will provide himself a lamb. He was going to be that lamb in the person of Jesus Christ. What does the New King James say? God will provide for himself the lamb. The NIV, God will provide the lamb. The New World Translation, which again is the Jehovah Witness Bible, God will provide himself the sheep. And I had to put this one in there because this one just, I shake my head. The New American Bible, which is a Catholic edition, says God himself will provide the sheep for the Holocaust. Just got to shake my head on that one. I don't even know what else to say besides that. Just shake my head a little bit up here. Number three in your outline. Isaiah 11:3. This scripture is talking about Jesus when he would come. It says, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of the of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. And can you not think about John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery, when you read that verse? Jesus was not going to be able to be deceived. He was not going to judge according to appearance. But what do we find taken out in the New King James, Isaiah 11:3? That entire portion of scripture where I put the asterisks in, you see it's removed in every one of these. And the fact that he was going to be of quick understanding, we begin to see that pattern where the New King James Bible makes a change. The same change is in the NIV. The same change is in the Jehovah Witness Bible also. Number four, Isaiah 66:5. Interesting thing about the book of Isaiah, 66 chapters, 66 books in the Bible. It's very interesting, and I've tried to do this a couple times, actually looking at comparisons between chapter 1 and Genesis, chapter 2 and Exodus. And right down the line, this is chapter 66, which is comparable to the book of Revelation. But what do we find talked about in this verse? The return of Christ himself, the second coming. Very interesting parallels there. Well, let's read the verse. It says, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. This verse is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. What do we find taken out of the verses? The second coming. The second coming. The Jehovah Witness left it in only because they said it was Jehovah that was coming instead of Christ. So they left that one in there. But I tell you, Jesus Christ told us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And we need every word. These changes, if you had one verse and no more, one verse would be enough that it would be a problem where these changes are in there. But we see it's not just one verse, it's many different verses. We need every verse. Brother Earl showed me this verse this morning. I said, hey, that's going in the lesson this morning. That's good stuff right there. Read Ecclesiastes 3:14. It says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken away. God doeth it that men should fear before him. And I tell you, that is one of the problems with these Bible translating committees today, is they have not a right fear of God. You could not pay me to sit on one of these Bible translation committees knowing the awesome responsibility it is concerning the fact that you're working with the Word of God. Read those warnings in the scriptures about adding to and taking away and making changes to the Word of God. No way you would never get me to sit on one of those committees knowing what God has said about that. Number five, Matthew 6:13. says, this is the end of the disciples' prayer that Jesus gave. It says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." What do we see in the New King James? The end of the verse is completely taken off. "And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one." This part in red is all gone. What do we find on the NIV? Same change. What do we find in the Jehovah Witness Bible? The same exact change. And don't forget, when we went through that subject, where we were looking at doctrines impacted by the Bible, whose kingdom it was going to be was one of those doctrines that were impacted by all those changes over and over again, as we've seen. Number 6, Matthew 7:14. It says, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." It's talking about Jesus Christ being that narrow way, trusting in Him for our salvation, the only way you ever make it to heaven. What do we find changed in the New King James? "Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life." Opening up that door that we talked about several weeks ago, how salvation is that hard process, often incorporating works. Hopefully you can make it, but we're not sure. Just keep working and hoping you can please God. What do we see changed in the other versions? "The road that leads there is so hard to follow, only a few people find it. The gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult." The same type of changes. Number 7, Matthew 20:20, says, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him." And I know you know what's coming, because we just talked about these type of changes a couple weeks ago. Taking away the worshiping of Jesus Christ because he was worthy of worship. We see it in the modern Bibles. We see it in the NIVs. We see it in the Jehovah Witness Bible. We're going to see it here in the New King James as well. What does it say? "The mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling." Worshiping is taken right out of the Bible. The NIV, kneeling. The New World Translation, doing obeisance, which is simply a token of showing respect and nothing more. Worship, taken right out of the Scriptures in the New King James Bible. Number 8 in your outline. Matthew 28:20, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." What does it say in the New King James and the other modern Bibles? "Even to the end of the age," to the very end of the age, until the conclusion of the system of things. This is raw New Age. If you know anything about the New Age religion, they teach that there's this age of time, as you go through it, you start a New Age. You go through it, you start a New Age. I've got a couple of series at home that are great teachings on the New Age. If you ever encounter it, need some information on it. But I can tell you from my experience of studying the New Age religion, this totally fits the idea of time simply being one group of ages to another, and it's a serious change that you might otherwise overlook. For 9 and 10, these are actually the same verse basically in two different books of the Bible. We've got it in Mark and also in Luke, so we'll combine these two. It's talking about the fact that those that would come professing themselves to be the Christ are deceivers, and they're trying to lead many of people astray and to follow them. Let's see what's changed here. In Mark 13:6, it says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." What do we find taken out? The word Christ. Where's Christ here? It says, "I am He. I am He. I am He." Also in Luke, "I am He. I am He. And I am He." Number 11 in your outline, John 1:3, it says, "All things were made by Him," speaking of Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ was God, He had the power to create. He was not a lesser God like the Jehovah Witness would teach. He was an equal part of the Trinity, the Godhead itself. What do we see in the New King James Bible? In John 1:3, "All things were made through Him instead of by Him." What do we see in the NIV? "Through Him all things were made." In the New World Translation, "All things come into existence through Him." Number 12 in your outline, Acts 3:26. It says, "God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you." And this verse is simply testifying the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, that God was His Father. We've seen these changes a couple weeks ago in some of the verses. Look at what it says in the New King James. "His Son" is changed to "His servant." In the NIV, "His servant." And also in the New World Translation, is changed to "His servant," taking away the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We see the same type of change in verse number 13, Acts 4:27. We read, "For of a truth, thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed." We see the same type of changes. Holy Child is changed to the Holy Servant. In the New King James, also in the NIV, says Holy Servant Jesus, and also in the New World Translation. Number 14 in the outline, Acts 12:4, says, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And we see in the New King James, it's changed to after the Passover. The same type of change is in the NIV, after the Passover, and also in the New World Translation, after the Passover. Now, I don't want to get into debating the whole issue of whether Passover or whether Easter was the right translation. Obviously, I believe the King James was right that it was Easter. And there in your outline, you have some additional verses bearing testimony to that fact. But what I do want you to see is that the New King James continues to make the same exact changes that the NIV makes and also the New World Translation. Number 15 in your outline, Acts 17:22, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. Paul was not complimenting these people. He was upbraiding them because of their false religions and worshiping all these idols. In the New King James, what do we read? That in all things you are very religious. In the NIV, you are very religious. In the New World Translation, you seem to be given to the fear of deities. Exactly the same type of words, the same type of changes from one version to the next. Number 16 is Acts 8:9. It said, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people. Bewitching simply means to influence or affect, especially injuriously, by witchcraft. What do we see in the New King James? That he astonished the people. In the NIV, that he amazed all the people. And in the New World Translation, that he amazed the nation. The same type of changes again. And number 17 in your outline, Acts 17:29, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone. What do we see in the New King James? We ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone. The same type of phrase used in the NIV, the divine being, the New World Translation, the divine being. These verses would attack the existence of the Godhead itself and make us to believe that he's some unpersonable, unknowable God, as is taught in so many of the other Bibles. We see in number 18 in your outline, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We see this same change. We've seen this just a couple weeks ago. The New King James says, to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The NIV, to us who are being saved. The New World Translation, to us who are being saved, making salvation into a process that occurs over a time and is often accompanied with the works. Number 19 in the outline, 2 Corinthians 2:17, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. Paul was warning that there were people out there that were making changes to the word of God and corrupting the scriptures. What do we see in the New King James? For we are not so many which are peddling the word of God. In the NIV, we do not peddle the word of God. In the New World Translation, the Jehovah Witness Bible, we are not peddlers of the word of God. This was Paul. He was not warning about selling the Bibles. He was warning the people that they were out there making changes to the word of God and corrupting the text itself. This was not a warning against people preaching for money or trying to sell the scriptures to make a profit. And Satan does not want us to know that there are corrupt Bibles out there, that there are people making changes to the Bibles, and that there is a corrupt text that exists. Number 20 in your outline, 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. This scripture is talking about having our thought life under captivity, under control, and not allowing Satan to put thoughts in that we would dwell on that would be wicked and evil. What do we see in the New King James? Casting down arguments. In the NIV, we demolish arguments. In the New World Translation, we are overturning reasonings. The same type of changes following suit. Number 21 in your outline, 1 Timothy 16 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. That getting gain and trying to establish more wealth for yourself is a root of all evil. What do we see in the New King James? For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. In the NIV, it's a root of all kinds of evil. In the New World Translation, it's a root of all sorts of injurious things, the same type of changes are made between these different translations, these modern translations. Number 22 in your outline, 2 Timothy 2:15 says to study, to show yourself approved unto God. We need to be reading our Bibles. We need to be studying them. Paul was admonishing young Timothy to be in the Word of God, to read it, to study it, to live it, to let it get in his life so that he could share it with other people and be a blessing and a help to them. What do we see in the New Bibles? The New King James simply says to be diligent. The NIV, to do your best. The New World Translation, to do your utmost. The same type of changes that are there in all these modern translations. And can you think of anyone besides Satan that would not want us to be reading and studying our Bibles? Certainly, it's Satan's attack to keep people out of the Word of God. Number 23 in your outline, Hebrews 2:16. This is a very unusual change. We all know that Jesus Christ did not come to the earth as an angel. He came as a Jew, and that he was God in the flesh as a Jewish man, a descendant of Abraham. Let's read in the King James Version, Hebrews 2:16. It says, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham," simply telling us that Jesus was God in the flesh. He came in a body as a Jew, just as the Bible prophesied that he would do. What do we see in the New King James? A very bizarre change, really. Read this with me. It says, "For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham." Completely changing what the verse said. What do we see in the NIV? The same type of change. "For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants." And in the New World Translation, the Jehovah Witness Bible, the same type of change. It says, "For he is really not assisting angels at all, but he is assisting Abraham's seed." Taking away the truth that Jesus Christ did come in the flesh and that he came as a descendant of Abraham, just as the scriptures promised he would. Number 24 in your outline, the King James Bible, we find the words "the damned" and "the damnation" found 15 different times. These words are completely removed out of new and modern translations that you see on the screen. The Contemporary English Version, 0 times. The NIV, 0 times. The NASB, 0 times. The New King James itself is simply not mentioned at all. Number 25 in your outline, the King James Bible, the word "hell" is mentioned 54 different times, and almost half of these are all completely removed right out of the modern Bibles, especially looking here at the New King James. In the Old Testament, hell is replaced with the word "sheol" 15 different times. And then in the New Testament, we see the word "hell" is replaced with "Hades" on 10 different occasions. Let's read this example given here of hell being replaced with Hades in 1 Corinthians 15:55. The King James Bible, a very familiar verse, it says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" What does it say in the New King James Bible? "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" Well, I thought Hades was hell. Is Hades the grave? Can you escape from the grave? Can you escape from hell? Does this not open another door for the false teaching of purgatory in the scriptures of these modern Bibles? Number 26, our last example, is Deuteronomy 23:17, and we have listed there 5 different examples in the King James Bible where the word "sodomites" referenced. And what do we find in the New King James Bible? Simply changed to "a perverted one," "a perverted person," "a perverted person," taking away the fact that the Bible condemns the sin of sodomy. Now, I put this question up at the beginning of this section, and I told you I was going to bring it up again. I want to ask you the same question that I asked you at the beginning before we went through all these examples. If the New King James used the traditional text, the Textus Receptus of the King James Bible itself, why does it contain many of the same changes that the modern Bibles have, including the New World Translation? We're talking the same verses are impacted, we're talking the same portions of the verses are impacted, and we're even talking that the same words are inserted out of the modern translations right into the New King James Bible itself. A very serious question. Number 5, our final section, problems with the New King James name. I asked the question last week, and I want to ask it again. Is this a revision of the King James Bible, or is it a new version? We see here on the screen that the Old Testament of the New King James Bible is based upon a different text. We also see that the New Testament has textual changes from the Textus Receptus, from the section we just covered. The New Testament has all these different footnotes in it for the purpose of correcting the text itself. almost 800 different references are given to correct the text of the King James Bible. I said it's the most dangerous modern version because of its name and because it's the closest version to the King James Bible itself. It truly is a counterfeit, an imitation of something else with the intent to deceive. And I say again, as I said last week, it is not a revision. This is a new version. It makes many of those same changes that all the other modern Bibles make themselves. Finally, I think we should just all agree that we would say no to the NIV, to the New Living Translation, to the New World Translation, to all these modern Bibles. We should also say no to the New King James self. It is a new version, not a revision. And let's say yes to the perfect and preserved Word of God, the King James Bible. Pastor?